Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Dr. Don Wood. Dr. Wood has helped trauma survivors from anywhere from the Boston Marathon bombing attack, the Las Vegas shooting, to highly successful executives and world-class athletes perform at their highest levels. His Inspired Performance Institute has worked to create innovative strategies to help people heal from the limiting effects of trauma so they can feel and perform at their best. The result has been the development of a revolutionary approach to performance improvement, which is referred to as TIP, the Inspired Performance Program. So welcome to the show, Dr. Wood.
Thanks, Scott. I'm glad to be here and share with your audience. I love what you do and the people that you're talking to. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background for the people who may not be familiar with you and the work that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I got into the developing this program, not traditional. It was really because of some family situations. My wife and daughter had experienced trauma, and my daughter got very, very sick with two autoimmune disorders. My wife has an autoimmune as well. And my daughter developed Crohn's and idiopathic pulmonary hemosiderosis, which is the iron in the lungs gets released and her lungs would start filling up with blood. And we couldn't figure out, they say there's no cure for Crohn's, no cure for that, right? They don't know what causes it. And that's what made me start researching. Why is this happening? And it got completely connected to trauma. And what I see is most people who are having a lot of the health issues that they're having, it's coming from this unresolved trauma. And what I explained from my research is that I believe that unresolved trauma creates inflammation in the body, which compromises the immune system and the neurotransmitters. So people are getting sicker because their immune system's compromised, and then they feel bad because their neurotransmitters are compromised. And the solution is always being built around managing, living, and coping with it. And so I set out a way to try to figure out, how do we fix it? Because when people come in and say, I have anxiety, I have depression, I have post-traumatic stress, I say to them, that's the symptom. That's not the problem. What is creating that? And that's what I developed, is sort of a cutting edge neuroscience approach to eliminate or reduce the effects of trauma.
That's an interesting way to look at it. And we've had people on the show before who talk about these holistic approaches to resolving whatever it is, trauma or what other things that are going on in people's lives. And It was like the light bulb moment when they started talking about people who are suffering from anxiety or depression. And, you know, maybe it's not necessarily from combat related things right. That they have been going through, but maybe they're stressed out and they're depressed about their financial situation, or maybe there's something going on in their home life that is not ideal and it's not an optimal situation for them. But then when you start thinking about this unresolved trauma that some people have experienced, and you think that there might be a connection now to some other things that they're experiencing, it's another one of those light bulb moments, like, well, duh, why wouldn't we have thought about this before, right? You know? Yeah. So I want to dive into this a little bit more, because to me it's fascinating that there could be these connections from the trauma to other physical and mental issues that people might be experiencing. So let's talk a little bit more about this and where this trauma comes from and how it is affecting the body in all these different ways.
Yeah, that's a great question, because this will really help. It sort of makes a lot of sense after I explain what's going on. Our brains are just computers, right? They're giant computers. And What I say is we're creating glitches and error messages, right? Because of the trauma. So animals and humans have some similarities. Animals are 100% present in the moment all the time. So everything for an animal is happening now. So they're fully present. Humans, and it's survival based. So their brain is survival based. 95% of our mind works just like the animal brain, survival based, fully present. So the glitches are coming in from two unique features that we have that animals don't have. Is we have this 5% frontal lobe, right, which is our intellectual part of our brain or our conscious awareness. So we can think of things, imagine things that have never happened and create something. If animals don't know how to do something, they don't sit around trying to figure out how to make their life better. They're just dealing with what's happening. Right. However, we can imagine and create. So it's created the world we live in, computers, automobiles, airplanes. We couldn't fly, but we figured out a way to fly. An animal can't do that. So, for example, if a wolf is walking and he's looking for something to eat and he sees a bird flying overhead, the wolf is not capable of thinking, I wish I could fly because then I could catch that bird. Right. So the wolf would just continue looking for something that was possible. Humans, we can't fly, but we can figure out a way to create a tool to shoot that bird down, right? And we can also figure out how to fly, right? That's unique to us. But it's only operating about 5% of the brain. 95% is still survival-based, fully present. And so the second unique feature that we have is our ability to store explicit memory. So we can store everything you've ever seen, heard, touched, or smelt in your lifetime has been recorded and stored in this explicit memory system. Now, animals and humans have a second memory system. We have two, they have one. Their memory is based on repetition and associations. So they learn through repeating and associating a particular place or person or whatever or situation. They don't store the details of it. So that's why, and did you have any pets, Scott, or have a dog or anything?
Yeah, we have two dogs. And I was just going to say, that sounds very much like how you would train an animal, a dog or, other animal, where you reward them for that positive behavior. If you tell them to sit and they sit, you give them a treat and then reward them. And then over time, they start to associate that word sit with a positive thing, with the treat in their mind, right?
Yep. So they don't store the information about that. That's why you can feed them the same thing every day, because they don't remember eating that yesterday. This is just a new meal, right? So it's okay. A meal, and they're associating you with love and safety and food, but they haven't stored the information. Humans store all that detail. So if we have a traumatic event, a traumatic or disturbing event, all your senses are heightened, sight, smell, hearing. So how's it going to record this event? High definition, very bright, very intense. So this is where the glitch comes in. If your mind recalls that event, right, for some reason, something looks like, sounds like, smells like it, right? Your mind then goes into our explicit memory system, starts looking at that event in detail. When does it think the event is actually happening? Right now.
Right now, right.
That's post-traumatic stress. So if your mind thinks that you're in a dangerous situation and there's a threat to your survival, it's going to create a response to it. So anytime you have an emotion, a feeling, or a sensation, your mind is actually calling for an action. The purpose of fear is to escape a threat. The purpose of anger is to attack a threat. So if you think about something that happened to you 5 years ago and you feel fear, your mind is actually thinking you need to run. But you don't need to run. There's nothing happening. That's the glitch and error message. So if I asked you, Scott, what you ate for dinner last night, can you tell me what you ate for dinner?
I had pasta for dinner.
Pasta. So you looked up and sort of sideways and you saw pictures, right, of what you ate when I asked you that.
Yep. Yep.
That's how you stored the information about dinner last night. Your dogs can't do that. No animal can. It's only humans. Now, last night wasn't threatening or disturbing, so it's stored as a fairly low resolution file. There's no threat to it, so your mind's not going to call for an action.
Right.
But if that event had been threatening or disturbing, there's a tremendous amount of detail stored with it, very high definition. your mind would activate your nervous system believing that there was a threat. It's just a glitch and we can fix it. So what we do in our process with TIP is I take you through a process to get your mind to reset, reboot that information about the traumatic event in the same format as what you ate for dinner last night. And then it stops calling for the action. It's that simple.
Interesting. So could you tell us how that works? Like what the, walk us through the process and maybe talk a little bit about how all of that would work so that we can reprogram that.
Yeah. So it's pretty actually simple. I do a 4-hour program. And the reason I do 4 hours is I find it takes about 2 hours for the mind to really get into a restorative mindset. Your mind is generally doesn't like to make changes, especially quick changes, because that could be dangerous. So the idea is to get you into a very calm alpha brainwave state where the mind is very relaxed and super focused. So we have 4 brainwave states, beta, alpha, theta, delta. And beta is about 15 to 30 hertz or cycles per second, fairly fast, taking in a lot of detail. So if you have a traumatic event, you're going to be in a high beta state and your mind's going to be storing a lot of details about what's going on. When you move into alpha, alpha is between 7 and 14 hertz, the mind is super relaxed and super focused. So that's where we want you performing. And this is why I call it a performance program. So when I work with the athletes, I say, I want your mind relaxed and focused. I don't want a lot of detail coming in. You need to have your mind focused on what's happening now. And so that's the flow state, right? And I know you were military as well, right? So when we perform at our highest level is when we're actually the calmest, because you can think more strategically. And I use it as an example. If you had two people you had to fight, the first guy's jumping up and down and screaming, he's totally out of control. And the second guy's just standing there looking at you, looks very calm. You want to fight the guy jumping up and down because he's predictable, right? He's going to move in straight lines. He's got a lot of anger. That's easier to defeat than the person who's calm and calculating, because they can be responding to whatever you're doing. The person who's angry is just reacting, right?
The image that popped in my head when you mentioned that is some martial arts movie where the good guy or the bad guy, whichever person in this case, usually it's the good guy, they're like the calm, cool, collected, and they walk into the situation and the person that they're fighting against is doing all this motion that, you know, they're kind of a little bit more all over the place. But then the good guy comes in and then just takes him down in like 2 seconds, right? And so like that's the image that just popped in my head there. So I get where you're going with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great example, because when you're in that calm state, you can actually process better than you can when you've got too much information being brought in. And so that's the idea, is that's what we want you performing, is in that alpha state. And what I do is, the reason why most people have trouble with that is they've got too much trauma, that unresolved trauma looping. So it constantly is activating their nervous system, taking them into a high beta state. That's the anxiety. Those are all the things that your mind is dealing with because it doesn't feel safe. So that's what happened to my wife. That's what happened to my daughter. They were in that constant state of activation, right? Because their mind was not feeling safe because it kept reviewing all this old data, continually calling for actions. And the problem is, it's actions that aren't possible. So if your mind keeps calling for an action that is not possible, and say it uses anger, right? So it keeps trying to get you angry, right, to fix what happened to you 10 years ago. Well, you can't do it. So what happens is, if your mind keeps calling for an action that you don't take any action for, how does it protect you? Goes into depression. It shuts down, stops calling for the action. So depression is the absence of an emotion, right? You're flat. So once we get to the resolution of what your mind has been trying to fix, then we can get it right to stay back in the present. So it's really that simple. Here's a good example. I worked with a U.S. Army sniper who had to shoot and kill a 12-year-old boy. And for 8 years, he was at the VA, and he said, I just can't live with myself anymore. This is just too overwhelming. They just medicate me. They keep asking me to talk about it. He says, I can't talk about it anymore. He says, I actually got arrested last week at the VA because I got so angry, I started throwing tables and chairs. And I said, well, here's the good news. I said, I'm not going to ask you to talk about it. I said, we're going to get it resolved. And he says, well, how are we going to do that? And I said, I'll show you. I'll take you through the process. I'm going to be looking for a 2 to 3 minute highlight reel of that event. That's it. I don't need a lot of detail. While you're reviewing that, your mind's looking at that memory, I'm going to get it to reprocess that into that alpha brainwave state. And then it'll start taking away, right, a lot of that detail. So by the time we were finished, he had no problem completely talking about it without shaking, without crying. And he said to me, he goes, how did you do this? How am I able to talk about it now? And I said, I really didn't do anything. I says, what happened is your mind reprocessed that data. For 8 years, your mind has been trying to get you not to shoot because it thinks you're shooting him now when it's going through that data. Does that make sense?
It does make a lot of sense. And actually, I experienced a very similar situation when I was in Afghanistan, where there was a child and I had to make the decision whether or not to shoot this child. And it's one of those things that replays in my head over and over again. In my situation, I didn't end up shooting the child, but it still is one of those things that just kind of pops back into my head every once in a while. And so as you're describing this, I know exactly what you're talking about, because it's a very similar situation to what I had experienced. And the age range is uncanny too, because it was right around the kid was maybe 10 to 12 years old. So, it's about that same age period too.
So when you think about it now, are you still feeling an emotion?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where for me and my situation prior to that moment, I thought of myself as the type of person who would do just about anything to protect children. And then in that moment, here I was with a loaded rifle with the safety off, with my finger on the trigger, pointing it at this kid. And, you know, it turns out I didn't end up having to shoot this kid, but it kind of just flipped my whole vision of myself upside down. Like now, am I really this person who will protect children? Because here I was standing with a loaded rifle pointed at this kid, right?
Yep. And so that what happens is because it's in conflict with what you believe and who you are, right? So your mind's not okay with that.
Right.
It wants resolution to it. And the reason it wants a resolution is because it stored a tremendous amount of detail about that. Once we get that reprocessed, right, your mind then gets a lot more clarity and it doesn't have that same effect. So that worked with the Boston Marathon bombing survivors. I worked with a lot of veterans. Another gentleman who had, since 2015, he had had terror nightmares every single night. He couldn't sleep in bed with his wife anymore because he was kicking and fighting and battling. And so he came to see me. We took him through the program and the nightmares are gone. He hasn't. So now he can sleep back in bed with his wife. He's not having those flashbacks anymore. All that was because his mind was reviewing the old information. It's really just that simple. Hollywood has made trillions of dollars from this. They can convince us when we're sitting in a movie theater that something's real on the screen. Right. Memory is viewed the same way.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's a process that more people should know about. Like this is something that should be out there, treating everything in a more holistic way, looking at that trauma and getting people to process it differently, as opposed to the medications that oftentimes get thrown at the problem, or the other solutions that get thrown at it, which don't always work. I mean, not discounting any of them, because they do work for some people, but if we can process these memories and this trauma differently, then maybe it's worth looking into, because it seems like from what you're saying, you end up in that beta state with that high brainwave kind of functioning when you're in that that memory, right? When you're thinking through that memory, right? And that's not where you want to be. That's not that cool, calm, collected person from that martial arts movie. That's the other guy who's jumping around like a lunatic. And, you know, so you want to be more like that calm guy who can process things in the moment and see everything for what it is.
Right.
And thinking about those movies, that type of person, that calm person, is able to see the attack that's coming from the left or from the right, because they're not so out of focus on everything else that's going on. They're able to see the whole picture for what it is, and not just be in that high intensity state. They're able to perform at a much higher level, and that's why they end up succeeding more often than not in those things, right?
Yep. And that's the idea, which most people would say, oh, they think it's good to be sort of high energy. You know, I had an athlete say to me, isn't it good to have that nervous stomach and, you know, sort of all amped up before a race? And I went, no, that's burning energy, right? Your mind is not focused. And so you want to be calm. I want you in that alpha brainwave state. And that's counter to what people are sort of taught, that nervous energy is good for you, right? It gets you really focused. No, it doesn't. It actually doesn't make you focus. It goes the opposite way. It makes you distracted, right? Yeah. Focused is less, right, emotion, right? Where your mind can actually feel and watch what's going on and calculate much better.
Yeah. And it is focused in a way, just kind of about what you were just talking about. It's focused, but it's focused on the wrong things.
Right. It's focused on everything.
Everything. Maybe, yeah.
So it's focused on every sound, every noise, every little thing that's going on, right? Well, if you're in a particular battle, do you really care about all that other stuff, or do you want to be focused on your opponent?
Right. Exactly.
You want to be focused on
the opponent. Right.
Right. But if the mind is going into a high beta state, it's focused on everything that's going on in that environment right now. That is not as productive as it is if your mind's just focused on that guy's movement. You know, is his shoulder turning? Is his arm moving up, right? Is his leg moving forward? Where's his eyes focused, right? That's what you want your mind focused on. Mm-hmm. And so just another interesting point, one of the things why traditional therapy is not very effective in dealing with trauma, for this simple reason. If you go in to see your therapist and you're going to talk about a memory that's stored in high beta, chances are, just like this guy was saying, when he goes in to sit down, the sniper was telling me, when he goes in to sit down with his therapist, what state is he in when he begins to start talking about it? He's in high beta. So how can you fix a high beta memory in the same state you experienced it? You can't. That's why I use the 2 hours to get the mind moving down into that alpha brainwave state. We don't even talk about trauma until about 2 hours in. And then we're only going to be looking at three different events for a very short period of time, for a minute, 2 minutes, and the mind will reprocess it because it's in the restorative mindset and it's ready to make changes. I couldn't do that in the first 10, 15, 30 minutes. So the first couple of hours that I work with somebody, it's all about the science. Let me tell you how your mind works. Let me tell you how memory is affecting, right, the way you're living your life. And so I give all of the examples of what I learned through my research. And then people going, wow, this makes so much sense, right? I start off with everybody the same way. There's nothing wrong with you and there's nothing wrong with your mind. If I had experienced your life the way you experienced it, I'd be experiencing exactly what you are. It's just how our brains work. It's just science. And I believe that what we're doing now is going to be the way we're going to be treating this in the future. Neuroscience is really starting to grow. So neuroscience, I believe, is going to be the answer. And it's starting to become more and more popular. You're hearing about different kinds of things that people are using. I had a clinical psychologist come in to see me about 4 months ago because two of his clients went through our program. And he was like, I knew something like this would be developed. He says, I knew that exactly what this was when I saw it. So he flew in from Denver to come and see us. I took him through the program and he explained he had 50 years of terror nightmares. Now, this is a guy with every resource available to him, right? But he hadn't found anything that was able to fix it. And after going through this program, the terror nightmares are gone. He can sleep again. And he says that was completely different.
And that's an amazing thing too, because again, like you said, he had all these resources available to him. He could have taken advantage, and I'm sure he did take advantage of all these resources trying to fix this. But then here we are all these years later, and goes through this process, and now, boom, now he's able to sleep, right? Now, you mentioned that the whole program takes roughly about 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of a one and done sort of thing, or is it a thing where people continue to come back and use this program over and over again in order to get the full benefits of it?
No, it's pretty much one and done. So once we get that trauma resolved, so think about this. If we took, we're doing the opposite of what they did with the Wizard of Oz movie. They took it from black and white to color. We're taking it from color to black and white. Okay. Once it's in black and white, it's in black and white, right? Now, it doesn't mean life stops coming at us, so you can still have additional things, but you're going to be able to handle them a lot better. So I've had people who have experienced another trauma who may come back in, but boy, we can clear it really quick because they understand the whole concept. Just the memory, right? You can't stop the memory from being recorded in high definition if you're in a high beta state. So when they come back in, so I had a lady who had really bad anxiety for years, went through our program, it was life-changing, and then had another trauma. And her boyfriend called me. Actually, her dog got killed in front of her by another dog, right? And that was a pretty big trauma. So the boyfriend called me that night, and he says, she's in hysterics right now. You need to see her right away. I said, I can't resolve it yet. The mind's still processing that trauma. I said, so we will get it fixed. I says, but we've got to let it sort of process because it would be pretty hard to do it right now. She's in such a high agitated beta state, right? Let's give it a little bit time, but let her know that we're going to fix it. And so her testimonial is on our site, and she absolutely, and it took hardly any time at all because she already understood the whole process.
So if someone comes into the process, first time coming in, they've never gone through this program before, if they have a lot of trauma from their background, is it something where one session addresses one particular trauma, or can you do wholesale, get the whole thing taken care of in one session?
Yeah, what we do is we do three events. So the three events could be three separate events. So I had a lady, this is a great example, a lady come in who had had a lot of sexual abuse as a child. I mean, a lot of episodes and experiences. We worked on three of them. And so she said to me, when we finished the third one, she says, well, we're going to be here all night because I have so many of these. And I said, we don't need to do any more. She says, well, don't we have to go through each one? I said, no, because when you go to sleep tonight, you go into a theta brainwave state. And in theta, your mind processes what it learned during the day. So it's going to take this now and start processing more data for you, right? So if you came in with a broken leg, your leg's going to heal once we reset the leg, right? We don't have to do anything else. Just let the healing happen. It's the same with this. So I met her at a store just by chance about a month later, and she came up to me and she says, I got to share something with you. She says, those three events that we cleared that night, she goes, for the first time ever, I was able to go home and talk to my husband and share it with him. She's like, I could never do that before. So she says, so I know that absolutely changed it. She says, but when you told me my mind would clear all the others, she goes, I'll be honest, I didn't believe you. And she says, but I was at Universal Studios with my daughter and my husband on the weekend, and we're riding on the escalator, and I was looking over the railing, and my daughter says to me, Mom, look at what you're doing. And she goes, I never told you I had a fear of heights. We never discussed it, and it's gone. And she says, wow. I went up to the top of the escalator, and I looked over the railing at people walking underneath the bridge. She goes, I couldn't have done that before. So whatever event created that got processed.
Well, and that's interesting, too, because that's completely unrelated to the sexual trauma that she originally was talking about and what she was processing during that day. Well, I'm assuming it's unrelated, but
it may have or may not have been unrelated. It could have been coming down to a fear of heights. Could have been an experience that she had,
right,
where maybe she was in a situation where she didn't have, she was up high, or she was afraid of falling or something like that. There could, right, have been a number of different things like that.
Yeah, it could have been, but to me, that's encouraging to have that type of result, because the type of people that I was referring to, where they have maybe multiple traumas, could be someone who we talk about a lot of the military here in on this show, could be someone who was in a situation like that sniper, where they had to shoot somebody that it's just tearing them up inside. But then they also could have themselves been a victim of a, you know, an IED blast that hit their truck or something like that, or and then they may have even also had something like a sexual assault or something like that took place in their life. And that maybe all three of those events are just internally struggling, you know, causing this battle going on inside of them. But it's encouraging that if they can process through some of those things, that healing takes place and, you know, potentially even heal some of the things that maybe they don't even cover in the session with you. So,
well, that's why what I found from my experience, especially when I work with a lot of military people, is chances are we're going to do one or two events from their military experiences, but we're going to do either one or two from earlier in their life. There's generally some other trauma that's there. So if we work on a one or two of the childhood traumas and one of the military traumas, or two military, one childhood, it starts to pick up on all of that stuff. And my experience has been that most people, you know, have childhood trauma that they think, like Rebecca from the Boston Marathon bombing, everybody was said, that's your biggest trauma. She thought it was, until she got into the process. And we actually only processed the one event from there. All the other things were from her childhood. We had two other events from her childhood because she didn't realize that those were affecting her. The marathon bombing became sort of the sort of what she thought was the big one that set everything else off. But she was struggling with those other ones earlier too.
And it's interesting too, when you talk about childhood traumas, when you're a kid, you don't really know that something is traumatic in that moment all the time, because that might just be to you, it's like, oh, that's just how life is. You know, like, okay, I just live in this household where, you know, I'm getting abused, or I'm, you know, something is happening, and that's just how life is. It must be the same way for everybody. And exactly. So I'll just deal with it. And I don't know psychologically or, you know, what happens in the brain with that, but I feel like you probably just file that away as just another day. And that's probably not the best way to process these things, right?
Right. And that's why I talk about it as unresolved. The mind is not okay with it, even though consciously you're thinking you're okay.
Yeah.
But the subconscious mind is still trying to process it. It's not okay with what happened to you as a child, not okay with the beatings or assaults or violence that it was experiencing. It wants a resolution to it. And interestingly enough, that's why I find a lot of the people who are in the military have had that kind of abuse, because they come in is that they want to do something. They want to become a defender of the people, right, who need protecting, right? So because they couldn't protect themselves, right, or they couldn't protect who they loved at that time, right, then they start to go in there and they have a passion for helping people and protecting people. And that's what brought them into the military.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought about it that way, but that does make sense. Why wouldn't someone who, when they're young and vulnerable, who didn't have the ability to defend themselves or other people, their siblings or a parent or something like that, why wouldn't they want to get into a profession, whether it's in law enforcement or in the military or something like that, where that's their job, is to go out and protect people? That just makes a lot of sense, right?
I think it really does. And that's been my experience. So military, you know, law enforcement, even therapists have a lot of times had suffered a lot, and they want to go out and help somebody because they got hurt, they got injured. So this is their way to try to help other people who have been hurt, right? And so it tends to draw those kinds of people in.
Yeah, and in a way, that's a good thing, in my opinion, because those people are empathetic towards the issues that the other people are facing, and they want to be there. They legitimately want to help these people in whatever way that they can. And you want people like that on that side of things. You want people who want to help you when they're responding, whether it's a police officer who's coming to your door when something is wrong. You want that person to want to help you, you know, exactly. Like that is a good thing. But I think we also should look at it from a different angle, where we should want to help them to process these things.
Yes, that's why I'm passionate about helping military and law enforcement, because these are the people out there protecting us, but chances are they have been injured themselves and nobody's helping them. Right. Or what they're trying to do is teach them how to live and manage with their pain. And what I say is, I think we should be eliminating the pain if we can. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, this absolutely. Is what I have found is, you know, and it really came because of the passion to help my daughter in particular and my wife and find a solution that was different, right, than what she was being prescribed, which was just pretty much medication, steroids for her Crohn's, you know, antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications for all of the pain that she was dealing with from her trauma. That wasn't the answer.
Right. And you mentioned that this trauma that people have experienced can impact their physical health as well as their, obviously, the mental health implications. And so what are some of the benefits on the physical side that people have experienced in your experience?
Well, the best example is my own daughter. So she had Crohn's. That was diagnosed when she was 14. She ended up having 4 resections done, where they literally had to go in and cut out pieces of the intestines because they died. And what they said to us, that she'll eventually end up with a colostomy bag, right? That was the solution. And so what I discovered is that when we have this trauma creates inflammation. And I believe the inflammation goes to the weakest genetic link in the body. So for my daughter, it was her intestinal area. So it becomes, so in that area, it becomes inflamed, right? Which is the response to trauma. The reason it becomes inflamed is to protect the system. So when it's inflamed and hardened, nothing can get into the cell. So it's meant to try to protect any kind of foreign invader from getting into the cell and infecting the cell. So temporarily, nothing's getting into the cell while it's in that state. It's a cell danger response, but nothing's getting out of it. And it is meant to be a temporary measure until the danger has passed. So if somebody is hitting you on the arm, right, it eventually swells up. As long as they stop hitting you on the arm, eventually the swelling will go down, right, and the cells will come out of the inflamed cell danger response and go back into normal operating. The problem is that memory keeps it active, the cell danger response and inflammation active, because it still thinks the danger is still active.
As if someone actually was standing there hitting them.
Still hitting them.
Constantly, right?
Yep, and it's viewing it in real time. So don't come out of cell danger because we're still being hurt. So my daughter was still being assaulted. That was the way her mind was seeing it. So it stayed in that response. And because the cells aren't meant to stay in that response, they die because they're not circulating. It's not meant to be anything more than a temporary measure to protect the system. And so that's why they'd have to go in and cut out pieces of her intestines. So anyway, after we take her through this program, her Crohn's is gone.
Wow.
Now that makes no sense to the medical community, because what they'll say is there's no cure for Crohn's. There's no answer for Crohn's. But they don't know what causes it. I believe, and at least in my daughter's case, is it every case? I don't know, right? But I know in my daughter's case, it was created by trauma. Because when we resolved the trauma and her mind then said, okay, we're safe, right? The inflammation came down. And then that changed her whole health position.
Wow. And you also have some examples of some high-performing athletes as well, who have gone through this program, and not only have they broken world records, they've broken their own records several times. So could you give some examples like that of these high performing people who like maybe have come in with some sort of trauma or whatever it was that they were experiencing and now are performing at that focused level where they're able to excel in their fields?
Yeah. I'll give you a couple of examples. The first one, which would be military, which would be a great one to show you. Because I believe when the cells go into that cell danger response, the ATP, the energy, the mitochondria in that cell is also not releasing the energy, right? So when I work with athletes, I love working with athletes because you can see the results really quickly. So I worked with Spartan races, the Spartan, right? So I was speaking at the Spartan World Championships in 2019 in Lake Tahoe. And the lady who runs Spartan Japan asked me if I would work with a friend of hers who's a Special Forces Green Beret, right? And he's running in the World Championships. She says, now there's three guys that are winning, you know, most of those races. I'd like to see, his name was Rob Killian. She says, I want to see how much he can improve against them. That was sort of the bar, right? How much can he improve against their time? So I took Rob through the program on Friday. And he ran in the World Championships on Sunday and beat them all.
Oh, wow.
Beat even the guys who were favored to win by over a minute. And what I always say is, I didn't make Rob a faster runner. How could I do that in 2 days? He already had that ability. It was just held back because of some of the trauma. When we released the trauma, we released the energy. He just had more accessible energy so he could run faster. And
it sounds like the energy that he was wasting on this trauma,
the trauma loop, trying to fix it,
trying to fix the problem. He was able to divert that energy, kind of like a dam in a river where you're diverting the flow of the water to another place. He was able to divert that energy to his running as opposed to floating around in his brain trying to solve whatever problem that he couldn't solve anyway.
It wasn't happening, but his mind didn't know it wasn't happening. So it's using power. It's like having an open program on your computer, right? It's going to pull power from the rest of the computer. And the dam example is a really good one. It's the same kind of thing. It's just damming up the flow, right? So when we get him back into a full flow position, of course he could run faster, right? It's just natural. In 2 days, he didn't do anything different in 2 days except that. And so that was really what the change was. Another example is Marco Chiesetto. Marco, we had talked a little bit about him. He's a double amputee. His story is everywhere. He lost both his legs to a suicide attempt. He's a runner from Kenya, a marathon runner. And so his cousin committed suicide. He got so distraught that he tried to take his own life, passed out in the snow for a couple of days, and the frostbite was so bad they had to amputate his legs below the knees. So Marco ended up having to learn how to walk again on prosthetics, and then they made him blades to then start running marathons. And so then they called me and they said, we really think Marco has amazing potential, but he seems to have plateaued, right? Why is he not improving anymore? We think it's in his mind now. So can you work with Marco? So that was in January of 2019. So I took Marco through the program. 9 days later, he ran in a marathon and took 15 seconds per mile off his time, which is pretty big, over 26 miles, especially at his level. And so he says, yeah, it was all in my mind. So he went to the Boston Marathon in April of that year, of 2019, and broke the world record. He's now the world record holder for marathons by an amputee. And then a couple months later, ran in the Chicago Marathon and broke his own world record again and got signed by Nike. And then he just ran in the New York City Marathon again this year and broke his own world record again. Awesome. So the only one that can break his record seems to be him.
that's until the other athletes come and
start coming. Yeah. Program. Right. Yeah. I'm sure he won't give him my number. Yeah, right. Cause I work with golfers too. So I worked with Tim Burke, who's a long drive competitor. He competes in those long drive championships. So Tim came in to see me. And then within 2 days, flew out to Phoenix for the first tournament of the year. I saw on the Golf Channel that he had made the finals that was being aired on the Golf Channel on Monday night. So I texted him. I said, how you feeling? And he wrote back three words. He goes, alpha, baby, alpha. He was in alpha brainwave state. He won the tournament. His final drive was 470 yards. And he won two of the first three tournaments of the year. And he says, I've never been so calm playing golf. He says, it's just totally changed the way I play. So we've got a lot of examples of athletes that the key is to perform in alpha because your mind is focused and it's relaxed. And then your skill takes over. If you're stressed out, your skill and your energy is being drained. And then it's hard to compete at that highest level.
Right. And it's not saying that you don't still have the skill. It's just you don't have the energy to put it into the peak performance, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So think about a car, right? So it's you're losing horsepower in your car. Your car still has the horsepower, right? But you're not maximizing it. So we've got to get all that energy, all that gas, right? So it's like one cylinder, right, is focused on something else, right? You want all those cylinders focused on what you're doing now.
Right. Or like the computer example that you were using earlier, you know, if your computer only has so much processing power and it can only run so many programs at once. And if you open all the programs on your computer and run all of them at the same time, your computer is going to start to seem like it's slowing down. It's not optimized to work at that high performance. But if you just close down everything except for what you need to work on, then it's going to work so much better. And it's almost like, you know, the old shut it off and turn it back on kind of thing where you know, something's not working correctly. You just,
I'm a right, technical genius. I do it all the time.
Exactly. That's 9 times out of 10. If my computer's acting up, I shut it off. I turn it back on. Boom. Everything's working just fine. And so it's probably because, you know, there's just that stuff stuck in the memory of the computer and it's not going away, and you shut it down, you reboot it, and then life is good, right?
So, and that's the exact analogy I use for this, right? We just need a reboot, right?
Exactly.
That old memory that has been bogging down the system because the mind is still wants a resolution to it. It's not okay with what happened to you, and it wants you to do something about it, but there's no action possible. But your mind doesn't know that because it's looking at all that high definition data in real time, continuing to call for actions. How it calls for actions is it uses emotions to call for an action.
Right. And that makes a ton of sense. And it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's no medications involved in this. It's really just reprocessing the trauma, right?
Yep. So zero medications, you know, it's very gentle, right? And we don't even get into a lot of detail about the trauma. So, for example, I'll say there's three different ways we can do it. One, if you can give me a 2-minute to 3-minute highlight reel, just like a movie trailer, give me the highlights of what happened in that event, right? I take you through a process while you're talking about it. Or two, I say, I don't even need to know what the trauma is. We'll do it all visually. So you'll go through it in your mind while I take you through the process. So I have no idea what it is. And then the third way is I have you just basically tell me in a new language and I give you a new way to tell me a new language and I call it flowing. There's only one word in the flowing language and it's flowing. So instead of saying I walked into the room, you'd say flowing, flowing, flowing. The idea behind it is that your mind is viewing the data even though you're saying flowing. I just need you to pull up the information.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. I think that seems like a good program that would definitely change a whole bunch of lives. And it sounds like you already have changed quite a few lives created some high performing people. And not that they couldn't have been high performing before. It's just, they needed to reroute some of that energy to get to their peak performance. Right.
They have another gear. Yeah. So it's the same thing with executives, CEOs, everybody in their life. They all have a new gear. If you want to be a better parent, a better husband, a better wife, right? If your mind's got a whole bunch of trauma built up, Maybe you don't have the patience you have with your kids. Maybe they activate your nervous system because of something earlier in your life that then I never use the word trigger. I know military probably want to use trigger all the time, but I always think of trigger as a negative, right? Your mind's not trying to hurt you. It's not triggering something. It's activating something. Why is it activating your nervous system? Because it's looking for you to do something. Is it possible to do what your mind's asking you to do? Now, if there's a current threat, right, and you feel fear and need to run or feel anger to attack, that makes perfect sense. There's nothing wrong with that emotion. That's perfectly designed because it's appropriate to the situation. Where it's not appropriate is if you're thinking about something that happened to you 10 years ago and you're feeling fear. What action do you need to take? Nothing.
And quite frankly, there's nothing you can do at that point that's going to change the thing that happened 10 years ago.
Yep.
But yeah, and this, from what I'm gathering, it doesn't turn off your ability to fight or flight or, you know, whatever that reaction is. It doesn't turn that off when you're in a situation where you need that response, where you can actually do something about it. It just makes it so that you're not constantly in that mode thinking about those things from the past, right?
I think it actually improves your ability to respond to a current threat. Because if you had a whole bunch of old trauma that was activating your nervous system, right, you may not be able to perform at that same level. But when you can just focus on this event without all that old data coming in disrupting your nervous system, right, you're going to have more power.
Yeah, absolutely. More
ability to focus.
Well, I know there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to find out more about what it is that you do and how they can get involved with this whole program. Where can people go to get in touch with you and find out more about the Inspired Performance Institute and the program that you offer?
So you can go to just inspiredperformanceinstitute.com, or quicker way is to go to gettipp.com. So gettipp.com, and then that'll take you to all the information about the program. I always encourage people to look at the testimonials because you may see something that relates to you. You know, so we have, you know, people who have through all walks of life, you know, from younger people, older people, military veterans, law enforcement, you know, healthcare, all those different things. Check out those testimonials and you'll see who you relate to and the stories that they're telling about how it changed their lives.
Yeah. And just the handful of testimonials that you mentioned today, or success stories, I should say, that you mentioned today, make it seem like there are quite a bit of benefits that can be achieved in a relatively short period of time. So what's the process? So if someone does reach out, they want to go through the program, is there a way for them to do this remotely, or do you have a location that they come to? How does that work?
There's a couple of different ways. One, they can come and see me directly in Orlando at our office, and I take them through the process. Two, I do it via Zoom, so I can take them through the same process through Zoom. Or the third way is we have an online version of it. So you actually, the whole 4 hours are in an online program, and I just guide you through it online. So it's not one-on-one with me, but it's still me taking you through the process. So those are the three different ways.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. So again, anyone who is looking for more information about this program, I'll have links to everything in the show notes that we talked about today. So check that out. You can click through, go to their website, get more information, read the testimonials, like you said, and find out if this is the right thing for you. But it seems to me like it makes a lot of sense. It's that holistic approach that I was talking about earlier, right? That it's resolving things that may seem unrelated to someone running at their peak speed or you know, other performance related issues, but it's diverting that energy to the things that you want it to be focused on, and it'll allow you to do the things that you want to do, even as simple as getting a full night's sleep, right?
Yeah. And one of the other things, I wrote a second book, I called it Emotional Concussions, because it's not always the big T trauma, right? It could be that coach that told you you're not good enough, the teacher that called you stupid, right? Or like my wife had an example where her teacher, maybe not intentionally, but put her up at the front of the class and then started asking her multiplication questions and she froze, right? When she taught, that was one of the things we had to clear for her, because she said, I felt stupid. My entire childhood, I felt like I wasn't very smart. She's brilliant. But that event created that belief in her that she wasn't smart, right? Because children don't have enough life experience to understand what they're experiencing. So they attach a meaning to it. What does it mean about me that this happened? Well, obviously I'm not smart. I couldn't answer the questions. And so that sticks with her. So those are kinds of emotional concussions can accumulate just like physical concussions. And then the other thing I wanted to mention too, especially because, you know, we're dealing with veterans. One of the things that I think is really important is a lot of times if they've been in combat and they've been around some of those bombs that have blown up, well, they maybe not got hit by the bomb. So immediately they're saying, well, you know, they're okay, right? And then when they come back, they're experiencing symptoms of post-traumatic stress. The post-traumatic stress symptoms are actually being caused by traumatic brain injury. Even though the bomb didn't hit you, the concussion that comes from the compression of those bombs are so powerful that they actually concuss the brain. And so it shows up later as symptoms of post-traumatic stress. So they medicate them and it's not working. What they actually need is hyperbaric oxygen therapy to get more oxygen to heal the brain. It's actually being physically concussed. So it's something worth looking at.
Yeah, no, and that's another interesting point too, because you're right. People end up on medications that don't work. They get frustrated with the whole process, and they maybe sometimes feel like they're a zombie walking around with the way the medications make them feel and everything like that. And if that's not going to work, if that's not working, then it doesn't make sense to keep using that. But to find something else. And so this other, you know, therapy seems like it could be the way to actually heal the brain as opposed to just covering up the symptoms.
Yeah. So a lot of times what'll happen too is they can get into addiction, you know, with drugs or alcohol, because what they're taking in terms of the medications aren't solving the problem. So they're seeking solutions, right? Other than that, when they may actually just have traumatic brain injury that they need to have treated. So it's worth checking that out. But make sure you go to somebody who specializes in hyperbaric oxygen and traumatic brain injuries, because if they look at a typical MRI, they won't see it. So they really need to look at it from a SPECT scan or fMRI to look at the functioning of the brain. And that's when they'll see TBI. And so the reason I mentioned that is there's other solutions. I want to make sure that the veterans understand there's all kinds of hope, right? To heal your brain, whether it's emotional or physical. It's just a matter of reaching out and finding those resources.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I wanted to do with this episode and a lot of the other episodes that we've done on this podcast, is to talk to people like yourself who have these alternatives to the medications or the talk therapy or whatever, that there are other options out there. And if you're open to trying some of these other options, it very well could help to heal you in ways that you may not have thought even possible. Especially right. Like you were saying with a TBI, some people may feel like it's a life sentence for them. And there is no solution. There is no help or hope for that. And in cases like this, if that type of treatment will work for them, then maybe they don't have to live with those symptoms for the rest of their lives.
Great examples, because football players, right, they experience those kinds of concussions. Joe Namath, if you listen to, look on Joe Namath, he talked about how a lot of the players he had played with were experiencing those symptoms, you know, from traumatic brain injury, and they're just medicating them. And he says, so he found out about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Now, he's got a lot of money, so it's easy for him to do this. But, you know, he went for multiple treatments And he says his brain is absolutely perfect. Wow. And it would not have been had he not done that. And so when you get more oxygen to the brain, you get more blood flow. It actually activates 8,000 genes in the body, in the brain. So it takes out the anti-inflammatory genes. It calms all that down. So it's definitely worth looking at. But listen to his episode. And the reason I use him is because, you know, everybody knows who he is, right? But it's the same kind of thing that the veterans are experiencing, just in a different place, right? Right. But when you start here, when the more celebrities that come out and start talking about that, the more people can then relate and say, yeah, you know, I maybe didn't have, you know, post-traumatic stress. I actually had TBI.
Yeah. So, and that, I've talked to several people who've had those symptoms. And, you know, after we get done with this recording, I'm going to reach out to those people and let them know, like, hey, there may be some other options for you if you haven't found this out already, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, check out, the reason I use Joe Namath is because it's easy probably to find a recording of him talking about what hyperbaric oxygen did with him. So just type in Joe Namath, hyperbaric oxygen. Dr. Harsh out of Louisiana is a pioneer in that. So he does the SPECT scan, the hyperbaric dives. So, and there's lots of foundations out there that will help with it as well. So traditional, the VA, I don't think covers it. So they won't pay for it. So depending on where you go, but you know, the treatments are like $200, $250 a treatment, and you need at least 40 treatments. So it gets expensive. But if you get the foundations, like I know, you know, Green Beret Foundation signed up with us, right? They'll pay for our treatment anyway. I don't know about hyperbaric, but they'll pay for our treatment if they're a Green Beret. So like I said, find out those resources, right? And check it out. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I'll have links again for the listeners to check out all your information. I'll have that in the show notes. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this, this whole program with us, because, you know, without this information, there may be people out there who feel like there's no hope left for them, and they don't know where else to turn. And this is just one of those other alternatives that they can check out, and hopefully it will do the trick for them.
You know? When they need it. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate the time, Scott, too, and the opportunity to talk to you and your audience. So,
yeah, well, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.